the translation. There are offences to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. Please repeat. There are offences to be considered while chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, simply by chanting Hare Krishna, one does not become ecstatic. And it's a long purport, and I'll break it up by speaking in between the purports. And specifically, as we can see what Prabhupada is speaking about, he's specifically going to be looking at the 10 offenses, which we always hear about, generally only when there is an initiation going on. There is no initiation going on today, but we are definitely speaking about the 10 offenses. Prabhupada is speaking, and we'll also look at something from the Ajamil story, which is based on something Gauranga Prabhu spoke years ago, a long time ago about. And I was looking at the story, and there are the 8 effects to chanting the holy names. So we can look at that as well. The purport. It is very beneficial to chant the names Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda before chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because by chanting these 2 holy names, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, one immediately becomes ecstatic, and if he then chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he becomes free of offences. So this is the previous verse, Nityananda Balite Haya Krishna Premadoy, that we cannot approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. It is not possible. So we approach him through Lord Nityananda. And we cannot approach Radha Krishna directly. Only through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's grace can we present ourselves or approach Radha and Krishna. So this is our parampara, this is our system. And we cannot approach Lord Nityananda either. Because he is, of course, the manifestation of the spiritual master. So we have to approach Lord Nityananda through the spiritual master. This is our disciplic succession. This is how we approach Radha and Krishna. So that just is a simple principle that's being mentioned in there. And of course, the Panchatattva mantra. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadara, Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. We often know that we chant this before we chant our rounds, the holy names, because 2 things, because of obtaining the blessings so that we can chant properly. And secondly, that if we do commit offenses, we'll be forgiven for those offenses. That's why we chant the Panchatattva mantra. It is so powerful and so potent. So once a disciple of Prabhupada said, well, if that is the case, why don't we just chant the Panchatattva mantra? We don't need to chant Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has asked us to chant Hare Krishna. And that's why we chant the Hare Krishna Maha mantra. But we will always chant the Panchatattva mantra before then. Sometimes we may think, well, why chant Hare Krishna? We can chant japa 16 rounds of the Panchatattva mantra then. Because if it is more potent, when Prabhupada is specifically saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is God himself and he has said otherwise. And that's that. It's the end of the discussion. Going on, Prabhupada then speaks on. There are 10 offences to avoid in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Prabhupada then speaks of the different offences. The first offence is to blaspheme great personalities or engage in distributing the holy name of the Lord. It is said in Shastra, CC Antya 7.11, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tara Pravartana. One cannot distribute the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra unless he is empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should not criticize or blaspheme a devotee who is thus engaged. In the Padma Purana, it states, Satam Ninda Namna Paramam Aparadam Vidanuti Ya Kutyam Yatam Katham Usahati Tad Vigaram. To blaspheme the great saintly person who is engaged in preaching the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the worst offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. One should not criticize a preacher of the glories of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. If one does so, he is an offender. The Nam Prabhu, who is identical with Krishna, will never tolerate such blasphemous activities, even from one who passes as a great devotee. So it's always good to be reminded of these things. And Prabhupada's purports are so illuminating when we read them. There are three levels of chanting, and we all remember them. They are Nama Parad, then Nama Bas, and then Shudanam. Three stages of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although we tell people chant Hare Krishna and be happy, and when we go in depth, there is a great philosophy behind it. First of all, there is Nam Aparad, which refers to conditioned chanting with offense. Aparad, the word Aparad means without Radha. Aparad. So there is no Radharani there. So that is the principle. There is no Radharani. Hence, Krishna is never on his own, and hence it is an offense. So that's one definition in Sanskrit that's given of it. But it specifically means conditional chanting with offenses. And this is the level that most people start when they take up regular chanting. The next we mentioned was Nam Abhas. And Nam Abhas is divided into two. And Nam Abhas specifically means liberated chanting without offense. And the word Abhas, it means the faint light of the holy name. Faint light. So there is some illumination of the holy name still coming, but it's very faint. It's very faint. Whereas in Aparad, there is no illumination coming. And there are two aspects to Namabhas. There is Namabhas and there is Shraddha Namabhas. It's divided into two. So specifically Namabhas, it frees the chanter of all sinful reactions and it gives liberation. There are many verses that, you know, if someone chants the holy name accidentally, as a joke, in course of an ordinary discussion, in negligence, and all the examples are given in the scriptures, that Ajamil calling out the name of his son, the Yavanas who were saying Haram, Haram, that's given as well. Or even, you know, in Watford, if you go, there is the, at one time, the laundry, we didn't have many laundry machines here in the early days, so everyone had to go out to do the laundry. So in Watford, there is the laundrette, it's called Laundorama. Laundorama. So, you know, even that, if someone is doing their washing and saying Laundorama, the name Rama is there. So great benefit is there, Namabhas. And even if they're disjointed, if the words are disjointed, and if the syllables are separated, and someone may say, nah, I don't think Ryan should do it. Nah, I don't think Ryan. So, nah, Ryan. So, disjointed. But still, there is tremendous. It's in Namabhas. Great benefit. Great benefit within that, which is available. So that's Namabhas, and then there is Shraddha Namabhas, which hopefully is all of us. Which means, that there is faithful devotee, he's chanting, and he has heard that there are 10 offenses, and he is very much trying to avoid the 10 offenses, and that's why we read them every morning, to remind us before we chant a japa that this is the purpose of it. Purpose is not just to sit and chant, but it's to avoid those 10 offenses. That's why we're reading them in the morning. And then finally, there is Shuddha Nam, which means pure chanting in the love of God. And Shuddha means pure. So we had Abbas, which was speaking about the fact that it's faint light of the holy name, Aparad, which is without Radha, and now Shuddha, which means pure. So this is the perfectional stage that we're all trying to get to. When you fully relish the nectar of the holy name, and then Nama, Rupa, Guna, and Leela, these all become available to the individual who's chanting. So the holy name, he sees Krishna's form, he realizes his qualities, and he remembers his pastimes. So Nama, Rupa, Guna, and finally Leela. These are all there. So these are three stages. And now Prabhupada here, in the purport, he is taking us through these aspects. And specifically here, he's speaking about the first offense, satam ninda. That, you know, when we offend Vaishnavas, there's a nice definition given of this in a variety of places. So the first offense really is, it's not just Guru Aparad, actually it refers to all devotees. Even the so-called small devotees that we associate with every day. It refers to all of them. Devotee means anyone who's actually surrendering to the teachings of Krishna. And Prabhupada even, in the purports, he even speaks about just God, anyone who's surrendered to God. He says even those are devotees. So you don't indulge in fault-finding, criticizing such a person. Such a person. Confirmed by the conch. Rupa Goswami, he states in the Upadeshamrita that Sango Tyago Sato Vrinde, that one should avoid the company of non-devotees, but he says equally one should keep the company of devotees and value their association. So we often tend to think about, let's avoid the non-devotees, but actually Rupa Goswami is giving the positive. Let's value the devotees that we do keep association with. So we honor all devotees. Sri Radha Gokula Nandaki. So we honor all devotees. First of all, we honor whoever chants Hare Krishna. Three aspects of honoring devotees. It is interesting for us to remember these three aspects. Narada Muni speaks on these, that whoever chants Hare Krishna has to be mentally honored. So whoever it is, we should mentally honor them. Whoever is initiated and he's following the rules and regulations, you should offer him obeisances. And finally, whoever is actually an advanced devotee, you can offer him service. So three aspects. And although one himself is a devotee, he's taken initiation, he's taken Harinam, he must think himself as a servant of all the other Vaishnavas and hold the other Vaishnavas in reverence. This is an important aspect. So this first offense is an important one, because you cannot chant the holy name and speak offensively, act offensively, think offensively about others who are chanting the holy name. Three important things. You can't speak, you can't act, and you cannot think offensively of those that are chanting the glories of the holy name. But at the same time, Prabhupada here is mentioning that when you are committing this offense, Vaishnava Aparadha, it's like pouring water on fire. That the fire of devotion will be burnt away, will be extinguished. And this, Prabhupada says, it will create great havoc in your devotional life. And even if you're very elevated, as Prabhupada said in the purport, where he said that even an advanced person, he should be careful, where the example is given of Mother Sachi in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the house of Srivas Thakur. He was Mahaprakash. He was showing his variety of incarnations, and everyone came to get blessings and benedictions one by one. So they asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what about your mother? Why don't you give your benediction to her? And he became very angry and he said, she is an aparadhi and I will not give her any benediction. So imagine, that's God's own mother. If you commit an offense, then there's no question. So then they try to find out, what is this offense? So she had criticized Advaita Acharya. He said, this Advaita Acharya, I think it's him who took away my first son, Vishwaroop, and now he's going to take away Vishwambar. So she criticized him. So Mahaprabhu, he remembered that. And for that offense, he said, there is no way. So of course the devotees, they planned the whole thing whereby they called her and they kept her there. And when Advaita Acharya was getting benedictions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and paying his respects, and he was unconscious, of course he said that, I don't take any offense from Mother Sachi. How can I take any offense? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. So although the Vaishnava may not take offense, the personality of Godhead will take offense. Of course, the devotees, they immediately told her to take the dust from the feet of Advaita Acharya and be forgiven and ask for forgiveness. So in doing so, she was forgiven, and then she obtained the benediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is interesting, that we should be careful, whoever we... Of course, there is Vaishnava Aparadha, fault-finding, and there is constructive criticism. So whoever is managing, they have to balance the two. So fault-finding is when there is pride, when there is envy, and when there is frustration, and then we try and instruct someone. But constructive criticism means that we have a caring attitude and we are free from envy. We have a caring attitude and we are free from envy. So there's a difference in Vaishnava Aparadha, of when you're trying to find faults, and constructive criticism. And you know, we were just discussing in the temple council the other day, and the devotees were saying that Trinadapi is such a wonderful example of that. Our temple manager here, constructive criticism, because he has to manage the building, so he can't just glorify everyone here every day. He has to make sure he manages them, and there has to be some instructions, but that is constructive, because we realize that he has such a caring attitude, and he's actually freed from envy, so he instructs individuals in that manner. So we should follow that example. He's shaking his head like this, but we should follow that example, because he has that. He has that principle. He's not out to get anyone, but he wants to make sure that Prabhupada's mission is on track and we are working together. Moving on. Prabhupada then goes on in the purport. The second Nama Parad is described as follows. Sivasya Shi Vishnur Ha Iva Guno Namadi Shakalam Diya Binam Pasyat Sakalu Hari Namadi Karo. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastime are all transcendental absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his name, that is offensive. Similarly, to think the names of demigods such as Shiva to be as good as the name of Lord Vishnu, or in other words, to think Lord Shiva and the other demigods to be other forms of God and therefore equal to Vishnu, is also blasphemous. This is the second offense at the lotus feet of the Lord. So, of course, our understanding very much is in the Bhagavad, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Ete kamsha kalapumsha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. Our understanding very much is that the personality of Godhead, the supreme personality of Godhead, is Krishna. And the others, although they are great Vaishnavas, great devotees, they are lesser, whether they are Brahma or Shiva. And generally, in the Hindu tradition, it becomes a bit mixed up. So hence people can't figure out, and they think everything is the same. And so Prabhupada is trying to make sure that we understand that principle. And sometimes the tradition within India becomes a bit like concrete, that means thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. Concrete is like that. So often when there's a misconception of what the Hindu tradition is, it becomes like that. Thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. You can't change it, and it's definitely mixed up. So Prabhupada very much is referring to that point, but apart from not worshipping the devatas, still Prabhupada very much speaks about respecting the devatas. The story is there when Prabhupada was walking and they came to a temple of Lord Shiva, and the devotees all walked past and no one paid their respects. And Prabhupada waited and he paid his respects. And they said to Prabhupada, "Why, Prabhupada, we're not meant to worship the demigods, what are you doing?" So, of course, Prabhupada reminded them that Lord Shiva is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. He is Gopeshwar Mahadev, Kshetrapal in Mayapur, whatever. So he's the guardian of the holy places. He's the greatest of all Vaishnavas. So Prabhupada reminded that we may not worship, but we always respect all living entities. What to speak of the devatas? They're higher than all of us. We should respect them. So often, in our zeal to preach Krishna consciousness, we may often neglect that principle. I remember in our days on Sankirtan, in the early days, we would visit homes. And in seeing this second principle, we would then... And you know, the traditional Indian family will have on their altar everyone. Everyone is there. You know, including Mahatma Gandhi, anyone, everyone is on the altar. And what we would do often in our zeal is that we would remove all the pictures of all the devatas, everything, and say, "This is not allowed." So forgetting that actually we should have respected the devatas, it's just that their positioning should have been different. Krishna should have been at the top and the devatas should have been on a lower platform, but instead we would remove everything. I think at one stage we got so carried away, there was where Prabhupada or someone had said that, you know, television is Maya. So we were in someone's house and they were, you know, watching the television, and we were with one individual. He said, "I have heard that this is Maya. You should not have this in our house." So then we decided to take the telly away and we brought it back to the temple. So sometimes we can get a bit extreme, whether it's the demigods or it's the television. So we tended to get a bit carried away. But the Nectar Devotion very much speaks on this, Anya Bilasita Sunyam, that Krishna, he wants exclusive worship, unalloyed devotion. He doesn't want to be shared with anyone else. So that's really our principle here, but not to frustrate anyone, or especially, of course, cause offenses to the devatas. Here, going on. Third offense at the lotus feet of the holy name, which is called Guru Avagya, is to consider the spiritual master to be material and therefore envy his exalted position. I'll read the fourth one as well. The fourth offense, Shruti Shastra Nindanam, is to blaspheme Vedic literatures such as the four Vedas and the Puranas. The fifth offense, Tathartha Vada, is to consider the glories of the holy name to be exaggeration. And the sixth offense, Harinam Kalpanam, is to consider the holy name of the Lord to be imaginary. So specifically here, the third offense, the spiritual master, specifically Prabhupada is speaking about, to consider the spiritual master to be material, and therefore envy his exalted position. It is the spiritual master who gives the holy name. The holy name is effect regardless of what we do. But of course, sampradaya viniya ye mantra nishfala madha, that when you receive the holy name from a bona fide spiritual master through disciplic succession, then it will have effect. It will have effect. Hence, how can we minimize the spiritual master who gives that holy name? It has effect, but it hasn't that tremendous effect unless it's received in sampradaya. And in fact, the Mayavadis tend to think that the Vedanta philosophy is the ultimate. But actually, we say the holy name is the ultimate. So one should not forget that it's the spiritual master who's giving the holy name, the highest teaching. So one shouldn't blaspheme the spiritual master. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada says that the spiritual master is the manifestation of Krishna. And Krishna's mercy is manifested through the spiritual master. So if we neglect or disobey the orders of the spiritual master, what is the use of chanting Hare Krishna? So Prabhupada mentions that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And of course the famous verse is the Yasya Deve Parabhaktir Yatha Deve Tatha Guru, which means that only those souls who have great faith in the Lord and the spiritual master are the imports of the Vedic literatures automatically revealed. So Prabhupada, in a purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, says the following. Believing in the words of his spiritual master, Lord Chaitanya introduced the Sankirtan movement. Just as the present Krishna conscious movement was started with the belief in the words of our spiritual master. We wanted to preach. We believed in his words and tried somehow or the other to fulfill them. And now this movement has become successful all over the world. Therefore, faith in the words of the spiritual master and the supreme personality of Godhead is the secret of success. So Prabhupada speaks very nicely on this third offense in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very wonderful that is. And you know, there is the... This offense specifically is minimizing the spiritual master or not listening to his instructions. The story is there in Hawaii of one of the sannyasis, and he was running a restaurant. And then what he did is that legally he changed the name of the restaurant to his own name. So he no longer was it in ISKCON's name. So Prabhupada went to Hawaii. And I think Guru Kripa was there. And he mentioned that this sannyasi now has taken our restaurant, Prabhupada. You have to chastise him. So Prabhupada then asked him, "Who are you?" The sannyasi said, "I am a servant of Krishna." And then Prabhupada said, "And?" He said, "I am your disciple." And then Prabhupada said, "So then, everything that you have, Who does it belong to? And Prabhupada, he was not responding. And Prabhupada said, everything that you have belongs to the spiritual master. So, then Prabhupada said, so who does this restaurant belong to? And the sannyasi said, me. So of course that's history in Hawaii, where then Prabhupada said, let him keep this restaurant. He said he has already committed guru aparad, the defense here. He said, let him commit no more. Sign it over to his name. Let him not commit any more offenses. Of course, he then kept the restaurant and everything. He left the organization. And that was Guru Aparad as such. Prabhupada then goes on to the fourth offense, which is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures. And again, we can do it in a variety of ways. Three things we can do. We can either denounce the information that exists in the scripture. He said, that can't be true. We can regard the books that we have as mundane literatures, equal to Harry Potter or something else. Or thirdly, we keep the books in an unclean place. That's equally an offense. Everyone will go home and start dusting the shelves. To keep the books in an unclean place, and Satsarupa Maharaj even goes further and he says, and not to read them, just to keep them on your shelves. That's equally an offense. We don't have to be original, inventive, or make something up. Rather, we have to repeat the words of Krishna and the Mahajans. And Prabhupada was here in London, speaking of this fourth offense to minimize, the moon landing was going on. And Prabhupada's servant at that time was, his name was Purushottam. Not this Purushottam, another Purushottam. It was Purushottam though. So Purushottam said to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, look, they're landing on the moon. And Prabhupada referred to the Vedic literatures that they can't land on the moon. But he carried on, and then when the moon landing was going on, I think Dhananjaya Prabhu tells that story, that he turned the TV on, because Prabhupada was staying in Baker Street in a hotel, that time before Berry Place, and he said, look, Prabhupada, they're landing, it's the moon. So Prabhupada said they are not landing on the moon. So Purushottam became alarmed. He said, no, he didn't have faith in the scriptures. He said, if that can't be true. And from that it led to the fact that he didn't have faith in Prabhupada. And then it made it really worse, because Purushottam, who was trying to cook, in the next room he had a pressure cooker. And he wasn't keeping an eye on it, and the pressure cooker exploded. And there was black soot all over the kitchen. And he was covered in this black soot. And this is just after the moon landing. And he was cooking for Prabhupada. Then he came into the room. And Prabhupada told Dhananjaya, look, Purushottam has just come back from the moon. So of course, Purushottam, because he didn't have faith in the Vedic literature, so he came to see Prabhupada. And he said, I don't believe in this process anymore. So Prabhupada was very kind. He said, give him some funds so that he can go back home. He wanted to go back and see his parents. And so Prabhupada gave him money so he could do that. So Prabhupada said, I don't want him to commit any more offenses. So this point of offenses is again and again and again reiterated in our literatures again and again fall. Fifth one was to consider the glories of the holy name to be imagination. The scriptures are reiterating again and again that these 16 syllables, iti shodashakam namnam kalikal mashanashanam, nataro parataro paya sarvavedeshu drishtiye. How can you get anything better than this? You can search through all the Vedic literatures, but there is no better method and no easier method of purification than chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Everything can be obtained simply by... So hence we consider the glorious to be imagination, and we just have to read the Ajamil story and we think that's an exaggeration. He chanted, how can he be saved? How can Ajamil be saved? We are trying so hard here in our lives here, avoiding the offenses, so many things, so many difficulties. And Ajamil, he didn't do anything and he chanted. Wasn't even initiated. Ajamil Prabhu, he somehow got liberation. So we may doubt, is this really all true? But of course it is. Nam namakari bahuda nija sarva shaktish. Cheto dara panamajanam bhava mahadavak. So Mahaprabhu is telling us again and again the glories of the holy name. So we don't need to be worried on that. The sixth offense is to interpret the holy name. As mentioned here, got as far as six, I did, yes, on the purport. Specifically, giving some interpretation when Prabhupada was in Tompkins Square Park. Allen Ginsberg was also there with his bongo drum. The local newspaper, what was the name of the local newspaper? East Village, they asked him, because he was the hero, Allen Ginsberg. They said, what is this chanting all about? And he replied as follows, giving interpretation of the holy name. He said as follows, he said, it's a biological thing. The release of oxygen by constant chanting produces ecstasy in the body. Sounds good. But this is interpreting the holy name. Interpreting the holy name. That was Allen Ginsberg when he spoke. And then Prabhupada, one of the hippies who had joined, she was obviously on some intoxicant. And she said, Swamiji, when I chant, I see in my brain a big red light. What should I do? So Prabhupada said, keep chanting, it will go away. So, interpreting the holy name. So we don't want to interpret the holy name. And Haridas Thakur was there when he was reciting the Ajamil pastime. He said that the holy name is so great that Ajamil chanted the word Narayan at the time of death, and he was saved. And Haridas Thakur said, don't be doubtful. And Gopal Chappal, who was there, the pastime is there, because Haridas Thakur had said that the shadow of the holy name, even when it's chanted with offense, even inattentively, would give liberation. So this is Namabhas. He's speaking about Namabhas. So Gopal Chappal, he said, you're exaggerating. How can the shadow of the holy name give liberation? And then, of course, Gopal Chappal, he said, you may say that, but if the shadow of the holy name does not give liberation, then I will cut off my nose. So he gave a challenge to her, and he offended Haridas Thakur. So of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wasn't very happy with this. Because then Gopal Chappal, he caught leprosy. Because the thing is, he said to Haridas Thakur that if it doesn't give liberation, then you will lose your nose. And if I'm right, I will lose my nose. So we'll see. Whoever's right. So of course he caught leprosy. And leprosy is what attacks the cartilage. So the nose is all cartilage. So the nose in leprosy just disappeared. So he cut off his nose. So that story in that pastime is there. Going on, the seventh offense as described as follows. Namno baladyasya hi papa buddhir na vidyate tasya yamirhi shuddhi. To think that since the Hare Krishna mantra can counteract all sinful reactions, one may therefore go on with the sinful activities and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra to neutralize them is the greatest offense at the lotus feet of Harinam. So Prabhupada often speaks of this, and of all the offenses, he does say that this is the greatest offense, the seventh ones. That to commit sinful activities whilst chanting the holy name of the Lord. And this is practice in many religions where there is confession. That you can confess for your sins and you're meant to stop sinning after that. But people tend to carry on that I'll be forgiven so I can carry on sinning. So Prabhupada is quite critical of that, and he gives the example that this form of atonement is like the elephant bathing. That the elephant bathes, and then when he comes onto the ground, he takes all the dry dirt and he pours it all on him again. So he's dirty again. So Prabhupada says that this principle of sinning and atoning and sinning and atoning is like the elephant bath. So we may make a mistake that can be rectified. But if we actually plan to make a career of chanting Hare Krishna and breaking the rules, then we'll not advance. Then we'll not advance. There may be genuine mistakes, that's fine. When we've taken initiation, we take on the responsibility even further. That now we can't commit offenses because we know all the offenses. At the time of initiation, the 10 offenses were recited. So we know them now. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that anyone who doesn't have faith in the holy name, he should not be initiated. So that's why the 10 offenses are also recited at initiation. So it's a little bit like, it becomes more shameful if you're a policeman and then you start stealing. It gets more, it becomes more shameful. Isn't it the great problem of the Metropolitan Police, which is their Achilles heels, is the Stephen Lawrence case. If you're not following the news. Going on 15 years, and again now all the undercover has been revealed again. So when the police, they commit crimes, that's even more alarming. And the whole public in Britain, they lost faith in the police force. They did a survey and people had lost faith just because a few rogue, not that the police forces, a few individuals were bad. So Prabhupada speaks about the fact that if we know that we're not meant to do something, and we do it, that's even more alarming. That's even more alarming. And Jagai and Madai, they're a very good example. They were forgiven for all their sins. And Lord Chaitanya, he said to them, and you know, they had committed more sin than anyone else. The pastime is there that when Lord Chaitanya, he forgave them, that his golden color, it became totally black when he forgave Jagai and Madai. That's how many sins that they had. But then he said to them, now, no more sins. Now, no more sins. Whatever you've done is of no consequence, so you do not have to bother about it. But now, no more sins. So the seventh offense. It's the eighth, carrying on with the purport here. The eighth offense is stated thus, dharma vrityatyaga hutana sarva shubhi kriya samyum api pramada. It is offensive to consider the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra to be a religious ritualistic ceremony. Performing religious ceremonies Following vows and practicing renunciation and sacrifice are all materialistic, auspicious activities. The chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra must not be compared to such materialistic religious activity. This is an offense at the lotus feet of the holy name. And you know, well, in essence, Prabhupada is saying is that we don't pray to God specifically to get some money, improve our health, have a nice husband or wife, nationalistic to improve our business, whatever it may be. Specifically, he considers this an offense at the Nam Prabhu, the holy name. But there are groups that give out mantras, meditation groups, and they say that you will get many material benefits if you chant. And at gatherings, Satsarupa Maharaj speaks about this, and he said at gatherings, the individuals will testify that I chanted this mantra and I had such an immense experience, and the next day I wanted a guitar, and the next day miraculously someone gave me a guitar. So Prabhupada is, in this offense, it's speaking on that principle. That, you know, it's not a materialistic activity in that way. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about the fact that whatever we need, we should go to Krishna and no one else. No one else we should go to. And Yudhisthira Maharaj, in the Mahabharata, he also does this same principle. He went up to Krishna and he said, I want a huge kingdom. I want a beautiful wife. I want so much money. And Krishna said, what are you saying? He said, in the future, Krishna, people think that if they worship you, Harishita Dhanam Shanai, everything will be taken away from them. But I want to say, if they worship you, they will get everything. So the Vedas have many such stories, but specifically here, we're speaking of that, the ninth offense, going on to the ninth offense. As described as follows, Ashradadana Vimukpi Ashnavati Yash Chopadash Shiva Nama Paradam. It is an offense to preach the glories of the holy name amongst persons who have no intelligence or faith in the subject matter. Such people should be given the chance to hear the Hare Krishna mantra, but in the beginning they should not be instructed about the glories of the spiritual significance of the holy name. By constant chanting of the holy name, their hearts will be purified, and then they will be able to understand the transcendental position of the holy name. So that's very interesting as well, you know, to instruct the glories of the holy name to the faithless. So although, as Prabhupada says here, we shouldn't introduce everyone, Prabhupada says we should introduce everyone to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but not discuss the intimate glories. And also, why? Because it will just increase their blasphemous attitude. And Prabhupada always speaks about that we should approach to the innocent and those that are receptive. In our preaching, every day of course, everyone we meet is faithless. Vishwanatha Prabhu will, as our inspirer of the book distribution meeting, everyone is faithless, really, at the end of the day. So Prabhupada, he speaks about that we should avoid prolonged exposure to blasphemy. That's not all we do. We have to have a morning program as well. We should be amongst those that are faithful as well, so that when you meet the faithless, you're not overcome by them. So prolonged exposure to those that are faithless. What about speaking of intimate glories of the holy name? So Prabhupada said something very interesting in this regard to this one, the ninth offense, instructing those, the glories to those that are not faithful. He said, one should not throw pearls before swine. Swines are birds. So if you throw some pearls before the swans, they'll just eat them. They don't see the value of it. So Prabhupada says, so far as possible, we should go to those that are little inclined, not to those, we shouldn't throw pearls, as mentioned here before, it's swine. And finally, the 10th one, in the purport here, Shruti pi nama mahatmya ye priti yarhito nara aham mahamadi paramo namni chopya aparadi krit. If one has heard the glories of the transcendental holy name of the Lord, but nevertheless continues in a materialistic concept of life, thinking, I am this body, and everything belongs to this body is mine, aham mameti, and does not show respect and love for the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, this is an offense. So, if you maintain material attachments, and habits, despite being given so many instructions, and then you don't have faith in the holy name, this is considered the 10th offense. And as Prabhupada mentions here, aham mameti, we'll go back to the bodily concept of life, I, me, and mine. And of course, the purport ends here, but of course then there is the 11th offense, which is to be inattentive, to be inattentive. And it said that the 11th offense contains the other 10. When we are inattentive in our japa, it means that all the other 10 are going on. Hence, the story is there to be inattentive whilst chanting the holy name. When Lord Ramachandra, he was leaving, and he arrived on the shores and he met Guhaka, the boatman. But all the residents of Ayodhya, they also arrived there. And they said, we are coming with you. So Lord Ram, when he was there, he said, no, you all go to sleep and tomorrow morning we will all go across to the forest together. But he told Sita and Lakshman, we don't want to do that. I don't want to cause inconvenience to the residents of Ayodhya. Let them sleep. So whilst they were sleeping at night, Guhaka, he took Lord Ram to the other side. And the Sri Vaishnava Acharyas, in their commentary, they speak of this. And they specifically say that this is like inattentive chanting. If we are inattentive and we fall asleep, the Supreme Lord will leave us. Like Lord Ramachandra, the residents of Ayodhya fell asleep. They were inattentive. And Lord Ram, in the middle of the night, he left. He left. So that's a little bit like, the Lord will leave us when we are inattentive as well. Inattentive. So that principle is given. You know, in the material world, you see people multitasking, isn't it? They're on the phone on one side, they're on the laptop on the other side, their cigarette is on the other side, they're talking to someone on the other side, and it's all going on. 10 things at once. And they're driving a car probably and having a sandwich. So chanting Hare Krishna isn't like that. You can't multitask. Chanting is samadhi. It's a meditation. It's a complete service in itself. And hence, you have to be attentive when you chant the holy name. So these are just some thoughts on the 10 offenses and the purport, and I was going to speak about the 8 effects of chanting the holy name from the Yajamil pastimes, but so maybe I'll speak on a couple, and whenever I speak next, I'll speak about the rest. It's already 9 o'clock. So Jiva Goswami, in his Sandarbhas, he says that we are guaranteed a place in the spiritual realm if we just do 2 things. You know, there are so many rules and regulations, and you think, which one shall I follow? So, of course, for us it's very easy, you know, 4 regular principles, chanting. But still, there are so many other things that we follow. 64 aspects, which are there in bhakti. So Jiva Goswami says that we are guaranteed a place in the spiritual realm if we simply do two things. We are attentive in our chanting, and we are attentive in our relationships. Only two things, he says. And we spoke about being attentive in our chanting just now, and how that includes the 10 offenses. And equally, being attentive in our relationships with each other. And I spoke about that at the beginning. We may just be thinking we're living with other devotees, but they're very exalted. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they've done in some previous life. We don't know what they'll do in the future. Who knows? The Gaudiya Math, they thought Prabhupada was simply a pounds and shillings person who was sitting on the steps of Bagh Bazaar whilst the 80 sannyasis were conquering India. No one thought he was going to do anything amazing. So, we have to be attentive in our relationships. We have to be attentive. So there are 8 effects to chanting the holy name. And we'll just look at 1 or 2 here. And they're taken from the Ajamil pastime. And the first one is Samprayaschita, which means chanting Hare Krishna is the perfect atonement. And in the Bhagavatam, the Ajamil pastime, you'll find the verse 6-7. I am he krito nirvaseshu janmakoti amhasam api yajvyara vaha vivasho namna swasti ayam hare. Which means, I am he krit nirvaseshu. That this is the perfect atonement. That you may have sinned for how long? Janma koti amhasamapi. 10 million lives. Imagine that. You've done nothing but commit sin for 10 million lives. So this verse is saying, yad vyavaro vivashu. But Ajamil, how he chanted was in the mood of helplessness. Nama swasti ayanam hare. And this became the means of liberation for him. This became the means of liberation for him. So some prayaschita, which specifically, and the story is there, that once by chanting the holy name, of course, there are many, many verses which follow. Lord Ram, when they were crossing the bridge, they were making the bridge to Lanka, and everyone was chanting the names of Ram, writing them on the rocks, and the rocks would float because the name of Ram was on there. So at night when they had built the bridge, Lord Ram was wondering, he said, let me throw a rock in as well. And he said, well, I don't need to write the name because I am Ram. And he looked around, and there was no one there, and he threw a rock in, and the rock went, boop, 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 boop. It sank to the bottom. And Lord Ram became very embarrassed, you know, and he looked, make sure there's no one there, because everyone else, their rocks were floating. So whilst he was looking around, there was some clapping at the back. And he looked around, and Hanuman was clapping at the back. And Hanuman said, my lord, it's not your job to make the rocks float. It's the job of your name. Your name has so much potency. And just to show that example, this whole exercise is here. That by your name, anything is possible. That even the stone-like rocks which are there within the hearts of the conditioned living entity, they can float and be liberated by your name. So that principle is given samprayaschita. And in the Brihat Narada Purana, namnohi yavati shaktir papa niraharanehara. That simply by chanting the holy name, A sinful man can counteract the sins of more sins than he's able to commit. So in this pastime of Ajamil, specifically it's being mentioned, even 10 million lives of sin are there. The holy name has the potency to purify more than you can sin. Imagine that. There is no limit to the extent that the holy name can purify. Now, this doesn't mean it's encouraging us to sin, as we've already spoken about the 10 offenses. But what this is doing, it's encouraging us to have faith in the power of the holy name. It's encouraging us to have faith in the power of the holy name. And finally, I'll just do one more. Time is already 9 o'clock. And the second effect, which is given in the Jamil story, is called Bhakti Udoy, which means that it awakens bhakti. All of the processes of atonement, they simply nullify the sins, but the chanting of the holy name, it awakens devotion. Na nishkrute brahmavadabi yatha hare namatu uttamashloka pralambukam. That pralambukam means that chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is unlike any other process of atonement, that it awakens devotion. It awakens devotion. You know, generally processes of atonement have limitation. So whatever you do, it's never sufficient. The story is there of the man who was selling impure ghee. And the king's servants, they caught him. And they said, you have to be punished now. So this is like atonement. So they gave him three choices. They said, either you pay 10,000 gold coins, or you take 50 whiplapses on your back, 50 whippings, or you drink 10 kgs of ghee. So the man who had committed the crime, he said, I've committed a crime, but they're offering me pure ghee. Not even the impure ghee I'm selling, but this is pure ghee and I have to drink it. This doesn't sound like a punishment. He said, oh, I think I'll go for the ghee. So this whole example is about atonement. That we think there's different levels of atonement. So we think, let's do this, let's do the other. So he said, let me go for that. So he drank half a kg, 1 kg. This is nice. Got to 2 kg, his stomach was bursting. He thought, oh my God, now this is getting painful. 2.5 kg, he says, stop! I can't take any more. They said, okay, well, you couldn't do that one. So now, 50 lashes of the whip. He said, okay, I'll go for that one. So they started, 1, 2, now they got up to 5, and he said, oh, this is getting a bit painful. 10, he said, oh my God, they got up to 20, and he said, I can't take any more. They said, okay, so you couldn't do that one as well. 10,000 gold coins. He said, yeah, all right, take 10,000 gold coins. So atonement is a little bit like that. We think, let's go for the cheaper option, but we end up paying all of them in the end, just like this man. Not only did he get the ghee, the whip, but he ended up paying 10,000 gold coins as well. We may go for the easiest, but we end up paying. But Bhakti Udoy awakens devotion. And that famous story is there of the hunter, Padmapad, who was a true story. He was a disciple of Sankaracharya. But he was meditating on Nrisingadev, but he was meditating wrongly. But a hunter who came along, the full story is there, which is, they're given by the Acharyas, it's also there in the Puranas, that this Padmapad, he sat there, and he was a devotee of Nrisingadev, but he of course wanted to become one with Nrisingadev, merge into Nrisingadev. So he sat in the forest, in the jungle, and he was chanting Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev, and nothing was happening. A hunter came along. And this hunter said to him, what are you doing? He said, And he's realized, this man is a hunter, how will he understand anything? So Padmapad said, I'm looking for an animal. And he said, what animal is it? Tell me, I know all the animals in the jungle, I'll catch him and I'll bring him to you. He said, this animal is half lion and half man. So Padmapad said, well, that's the only thing he'll understand. He won't understand anything else. So anyway, so this hunter said, I'll go and find this. You're a sadhu, you sit here, you relax, I'll go and find this. And the hunter said, if by sunset I don't find this animal, I will commit suicide. And so he thought, wow, that's amazing. So anyway, the hunter went off and he went all through the forest chanting Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev, Nrisingadev. And it was sunset and nothing appeared. So he was about to hang himself. He said, nothing has happened, I'll kill myself. He said, I have hunted in this forest, my father before him, but we've never seen this animal, half man, half lion. But he said, I made a vow, let me kill myself. But he was about to hang himself when Nrisingadev appeared before him. And the hunter said, ah, there you are! Nrisingadev, I've been looking for you all day, where have you been hiding? This sadhu has been looking for you. So the hunter took the rope instead of hanging himself. He hung it around Nrisingadev. And he said, let me take you now. And he dragged Nrisingadev. Nrisingadev walked with him to Padmapad. And he said, sadhu, I have brought this animal, half man, half lion. Here he is. So Padmapad, when he looked, he saw the hunter. He saw the rope in midair, but no Nrisingadev. And Nrisingadev then spoke to Padmapad. He said, you have been chanting my name with offense. With offense. But this poor hunter has not committed any offense. And because he hasn't, his sincere chanting, just like the Ajamil story, I have appeared to him, but specifically Bhakti Udoy, as mentioned in the sixth canto, it awakens devotion. Within this hunter, it awakened his devotion for Lord Nrisingadev, and he became a great devotee of Nrisingadev. So that's two anyway, and six more to go. We'll discuss that another time. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki Gaura Bhimana.